He taught me to go with him through pathless deserts, dragging me on with mighty stride, and to laugh at sight of the wild beasts, nor tremble at the shattering of rocks by rushing torrents, or at the silence of the lonely forest. The Acheliad, 94 CE. The fairy house sprouts from a moss-covered tree trunk, small but perfectly formed, sheltered by the spotted cupola of a fey toadstool. Nestled in dewy curls of turf, the miniature house has been carefully pieced together from a stockpile of twigs organized by diameter and broken to the same length. Tiny flat stones form a path leading to its door. On his knees in the dirt, Chiron, named for the mythical Greek centaur, tutor to Achilles, leans over the mossy landscape. The robot moves gracefully, limbs and torso plated in contoured pads over an economy of smooth silver strutwork. Sculpted into lines of classic musculature, each pale plate is comfortable to touch, devoid of pinch points, and easy to clean. Chiron is often smeared with spaghetti sauce or flecked with waxy streaks of crayon by the end of the day, though his infinite patience and love never waver. The girl beside him, her knees dirty under a maroon sundress, is called Miss Gloria. She is 6 years old, weighs 39 pounds, and is 46 inches tall. As a specimen of little girl, she is largely unremarkable. Instead, the incredible aspects of her life come from the intersection of power and politics that finds its locus in her family. As a powerful man surrounded by enemies, Gloria's father entrusts his daughter only to an ally he has built himself. To that end, he has spared no expense. Chiron's most amazing attributes are not manifest in his elegantly sculpted form, but in the curious patterns of the mind. His thinking and memory are infinitely adaptable, self-preserving, and capable of extracting meaning and wisdom from whichever hardware happens to be available. Of primary concern to Chiron is, of course, Miss Gloria's physical safety. After that comes her emotional development, confidence, and self-esteem. He intends to ensure that Miss Gloria someday realize her full potential as a grown woman. Chiron is well aware that he will be discarded long before reaching this goal, and he is content. He knows that before a sculpture is completed, the scaffolding must fall away. Crouched at his side, shoulder to shoulder, Miss Gloria knows only that Chiron is an excellent playmate. Not a friend, not exactly, but a presence whose measured voice is steady and constant, if a bit stern. Gloria loves her mentor purely. He is as much a fixture in her life as the rising of the sun and the sight of the constellations each night. In his own way, the machine also loves the girl. Miss Gloria is his life's work, and she is coming along wonderfully. A bright red holly berry tumbles from the little girl's cupped hands.
"Look, Kai," she says with conspiratorial flair. "Poison berries."
Slipping, she drops the rest of the berries. They plummet like cannonballs, knocking twigs from the hut's roof.
"Careful, Miss Gloria," advises Chiron. "The fairy kings and queens won't appreciate a broken castle."
"Then fix it," demands Gloria.
"Is that a kind way to ask?" asks Chiron.
"Now,"
says Gloria, and she plants a small fist against Chiron's padded thigh.
"I think you should try on your own," Chiron says, crossing his arms and standing up. "And then I will help."
"But I can't do it," she says, eyeing the slender twigs.
Gloria wraps an arm around Chiron's calf.
"They're too small."
The machine does not budge. With a sigh, Gloria crouches closer to the fairy house.
tongue peeking from the corner of her mouth, she succeeds in picking up a twig. Dropping it, she knocks down the rest of the hut, twigs tumbling from their perches.
"I told you, Kai," she says, sitting up. "Now will you fix it?"
Chiron does not respond.
"Do it for me," she insists. "It's your job."
"I am your teacher, Miss Gloria," says Chiron, closing his eyes and turning away theatrically. "My job is to let go."
Gloria rolls her eyes and punches the leg again, a little grin squirming into the corners of her mouth.